Imagine getting up every day full of energy as if you were in your 20s again. What would that be like? What would that be worth to you? What is your health worth to you? Think about it. Your health isn't everything, but without it, everything else is nothing. And yet too many of us are taking it for granted until something goes wrong. No one wakes up hoping to be diagnosed with a disease or chronic illness, and yet we've never been taught how to be proactive in our health through our school system or public health. As a registered health coach and integrative health practitioner, I believe it is time this information is made available to everyone. Combining new knowledge around your health and the ability to do my functional medicine lab tests in the comfort of your own home will allow you to optimize your health for today and all your tomorrows. Don't wait for your wake-up call. Welcome back to another episode of the Don't Wait for Your Wake-Up Call podcast. I am Melissa Dealey, your host, and very excited to have here with me today, Amy Beheimer. Welcome to the show, Amy.
Thanks so much for having me, Melissa. I'm glad to be here.
I'm excited for this conversation, and I just want to introduce you to the audience before we dive in. Dr. Amy Beheimer is a pharmacist and board-certified health and wellness coach who helps people build better health after a diagnosis than before. Living with autoimmune disease herself, she teaches simple, science-backed habit strategies that bridge the gap between knowing what to do and actually doing it. Through her podcast, Autoimmune Health Secrets, and her coaching community, The Club Habit Hub, she empowers people to create sustainable energy, resilience, and confidence in their everyday health journey. So I love all of that, Amy, especially the part about building back your health to being better than it was before, and just the fact that you can let people know that's possible.
I will admit that it may take redefining health to do it, but so worth it. But yeah, after I was diagnosed with this, you know, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis when I was 27, after a couple other autoimmune diagnoses throughout my teens and 20s. And, it, you know, if you read in a textbook, or I've presented presentations in my conventional medicine career on MS, and it's, you know, chronic, disabling, neurodegenerative, you know, progressive. It's these scary words. And I came across a definition of health that said it is the absence of symptoms or disease. And if you look that up in the dictionary, it's like, okay, well, then I can't be healthy ever. And so just on my own path, I thought, okay, I'm going to need to redefine health because I want to be healthy. And so I call it autoimmune health. And I define autoimmune health as not only the health we still have, even though a diagnosis may be trying to take all of the attention and take the spotlight, but it's also the health that we're going to create because of what we do from here. And for me, I mean, my mental, emotional, metabolic, gut, all these types of health that have nothing to do with my MS are way better than they ever would have been if I didn't get this diagnosis.
And I love what you said there. And I would say in my line of work, because of mind-body health, that your gut health does have some relevancy to your MS. And when you improve your gut health, then your symptoms are dissipated, et cetera, et cetera.
And it's all connected. We are, exactly. It all feeds itself. It's so synergistic.
We can't just look at one organ, you know, diagnosis by diagnosis. It's let's look at the whole body. And that's what you're doing in your healing journey.
It is. And it's interesting you say that, because with autoimmunity specifically, which is, you know, things we talk about are good for everybody, but autoimmunity speaks to me because, you know, there's this looming feeling like, oh, what does the future hold? Because there is so much out about how they are increasing and they're on the rise and they're happening in younger people. Mm-hmm. Autoimmunity is so unique, and people feel so alone because there are no autoimmunity physicians, right? There are GI doctors for IBD. There are neurologists for MS. There are endocrinologists for thyroid. You know, it's just this piecemealed, chopped up system where nobody comes in and says, let's look at this human body as a whole and what's going on. And so that is why so many people can feel lost and batted around and So I love that, the mind body, and that we are, it's one big system, and these habits that we can intentionally make and create and learn to love, they are ones that touch every single one of our cells.
Yeah, I love that. And I was just having that conversation with a client of mine who's going through brain cancer right now. And she said, you know, I have seven doctors and I have no one conducting the orchestra. It's me. I'm the patient, and I'm supposed to have the energy to also be ensuring the communication from this doctor to that doctor to this doctor to that doctor is happening.
Yeah.
And when we make it all piecemeal like that, it is really hard, and then it falls on the patient. And so the shift to looking at mind-body health is an incredibly empowering one for everyone.
And what often's missing, you know, from the habit conversation, which if, you know, it doesn't take long for me to bring this up, but we think of habits traditionally as the body habits, or what I call outer habits, you know, what are we eating? How are we moving? What about sleep? But that's half of the equation, and probably even less than half, because it all starts in our mind, which is what I call the inner habits.
Yes.
And the inner habits are those habitual thoughts and feelings that drive and create the rest. And so to only look at the outside and to not go to the root of where these habits are being built is why so many people feel so stuck. I mean, 97% of Americans are not able to consistently follow through on the basic health habits for, you know, the outer ones, the body ones. And it's because I think the inner ones are just left out of the equation because nobody knows how to handle it. Nobody knows how to tangibly look at those and shift it. And so that's really what my mission is, to bring it all together.
I love that because it's so in alignment with the work that I do and the trainings that we run teaching the power of the unconscious mind, because those inner habits, as you say, are stemming from inner programming, which is happening in the 0 to 6 window of life. And before we know it, we're adults with our inner 5-year-old running our life.
Yes, so
it's
true.
How I got into this work as well is I was an integrative health practitioner and then writing wellness protocols for people. And some people could follow them perfectly and get great results. And then some people couldn't. And so then I was diving deeper. Why are these people not able to follow their protocols? And like you realized, it's because they're being blocked by the thoughts running through their mind outside of their awareness.
Yes. And we find this work because we had to go through it.
Exactly.
I mean, I felt like I had, you know, quote, the perfect diet. I moved, I did this, I did that. But you cannot outnourish or outrun a cruddy mindset. I mean, you just can't. And so, yeah, it really took that. That was my missing link, hands down, was, oh my gosh, you mean I can actually shift and control, you know, how I think and how I feel. And then you kind of feel super powerful and super, you know, I guess that's where empowered comes from. You feel like you have the power.
Right. And it's where you become limitless.
Yes.
Because you do get to control your mindset, your choices, et cetera, et cetera. So I love all of this conversation. I want to go back a step, though, because you said earlier that you had some autoimmune diagnoses even in your teenage years, and then you went on to become a doctor. So I would love to just for you to share that desire to become the doctor and why, and then you are the doctor. And I don't know if you had more chronic illness diagnoses or autoimmune diagnoses at that point, and how it led you down this path of getting into, you know, more of the mindset work, the inner work, which isn't typically talked about in our mainstream medical system.
Yes. So I am a doctor of pharmacy, so specific type of doctor, but it started in my teens. I was diagnosed with vitiligo, which a lot of people know as the disease that Michael Jackson had, because his skin turned white. And so that was his body attacking his sweet own skin cells. And so I was a teen, and that was the first one. And I didn't think much of it other than, oh, that's a little bit funky looking. But I kept on keeping on. So that didn't really have any impact on my decision to go to pharmacy school. I knew I wanted to be in healthcare. I had moms that were nurses, and I thought, you know, I can do this. I love this. So went to pharmacy school, and it's an interesting story that just how much who knows what power the mind plays, but I remember learning about MS, and this is in the early 2000s, and there weren't many medication options. And I was sitting in a library studying with friends, and we were playing a game of what is the one disease you would never want to be diagnosed with? So everybody's going around because we're learning about them in class, and I say multiple sclerosis. And at that point, I had no, idea that this was coming. But when I later told friends my diagnosis, I mean, they were like, "Oh my God, do you remember that night?" And I said, "Yes, I do." But so I went through school. What school gave me was a lot of understanding of what's going on in the body when things go right, as well as what's going on when things go wrong. So I did start to feel this autoimmunity impending doom, knowing that they cluster together. So the second diagnosis was a thyroid disease called Graves, which is autoimmune. Again, I kind of kept going, didn't rock my world too much yet. And then at age 27 was the diagnosis of MS, and that was a life quake. That stopped me in my tracks, again, likely due to what I knew about possible futures that are, again, possibilities, not inevitabilities. And that's when I really decided I'm going to learn about this body. I'm going to learn about what she is asking for from me. And I went back to school to learn about functional medicine. And along that educational path, realized I don't want to be another expert. I want to help people with the change. I want to, similar to you, I'm like, I'm pretty in the small percentage. It's about 8% of people that, if you want to make a change to your lifestyle, it's pretty simple. You kind of naturally overcome that hard of change. But most people, it's difficult. And I thought, I want to understand why. And I want to help them because it's not your fault. It's how our brains are wired. And we just aren't taught this stuff. So I said, I
Exactly.
think I
That's
could
the
teach
key.
this. Yeah. And I think I can walk with people as we go through this. And so I also felt there was a missing voice that could see the synergy between conventional medicine, which brings us, in my opinion, so many gifts. We have so many advances in,
Absolutely.
like your client with brain tumor. I mean, surgeries and some medications that really prevent disability and save lives. But then this also, this holistic and lifestyle approach, nobody was talking about it saying, let's stop pitting them against each other. Let's take the good from both and let them have the synergy that they so can have.
Exactly, I 100% agree with you. It's not that one is better than the other. It is how can we come and work together? And so, yeah, I love that. And I love all that you're sharing there. And, obviously getting that diagnosis would have been, really tough. And I'm sure it took you down for a little bit. And then you have to, from within, find that, okay, I'm not going to let this be my life. I'm going to figure this out. And that's already a step in the direction of the mindset that you need in order to move forward, right? As opposed to being the victim on victim island and woe is me and why is this happening to me? So let's just talk about, the education piece that you mentioned that we're not taught this. And I always say that what I teach, you can teach to kindergartners. It's just that we're not taught this, right? The power of our mind is so incredible. And it has been almost hidden from us on
So
purpose.
true.
Because if we all truly knew the power that we hold within, and it's not just our mind, I point to our head. However, our unconscious mind is through our entire body, we can't be controlled. And there's been books that have been taken off shelves that are only recently back on shelves. The Master Key by Charles Hanel in 1912, he wrote that. And it was taken off shelves for years. And it's a incredible book, and it's only recently been back on the shelves. So it's wonderful that we can have these conversations now. And the other side of that is how much information is too much information, and you talk about information isn't the problem. So I'll let you take it from there as to how you address that.
I mean, we're in an infobesity crisis. I mean, with ChatGPT, with social media, information is not lacking. And I sometimes it feels comfortable and it feels like, oh, I just need to learn more, or I just need to attend this webinar or read this book or get the right protocol or get some more information. And that just keeps us stuck. And so we do not need everybody listening and say we don't need any more information to decide to do something different. And that can really change things. What we really need is a good first idea and the support to follow through on it. And similar to what you said, where this is very different, very early on when I'm working with people, I like to, because it's going to take a bit of trust at first to hear you and me, Melissa, and say, wow, I can really, you know, change things, and it can start in my mind. That it takes a little bit of trust that, okay, maybe these women know what they're talking about and I'm going to try something different. But quickly after that, I like to help people start to find their own evidence in their life for how it's working, so that you don't have to go a super long time with this. Because if we just keep our going off of theory or books, you know, then we're likely not to keep coming back. So quickly, we need to find and look for the evidence that it is working.
Right.
Yeah.
I love that. And it's interesting because I was just on a podcast earlier today with a lady who had graduated from our program almost a year ago. And throughout that time, she was talking about all of the different changes in her life, positive changes and how she's showing up differently, et cetera, et cetera. And she said she just noticed 2 weeks ago going to a concert, the shift in her life.
Yeah.
And that previously she would have gone to that concert and been in a state of complete anxiety. And she would have noticed, you know, the scary looking people at the concert and the people that are showing up in the lowest form of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And she said she was so surprised because this time she got to the concert and she just noticed all of the joy of all the people that were there to have a good time and the higher forms of energy. And she was picking them out of the crowd. And she just said, I've never enjoyed a concert so much because I was a different person showing up at that conference, and then I could attract different people. And that's exactly what you're saying about the evidence. It's like something so small. However, we have to have the awareness to notice it.
I love that. And that is kind of one of those bigger moments. And so to complement your story, I'll tell you a story about, you know, this is, I have a million examples from my own life, but from one client, we call them belief seeds. So when we recognize something that we want to believe, but we're not quite there yet, but we know that, gosh, if I believed this thing, things would probably be better. A belief seed that we often plant in my coaching and in my group is called trust in the tiny. I can trust in the tiny. And so that acknowledges that if we really trusted that these tinier versions, these tiny steps towards a habit that would help us feel better mattered, likely we would be doing them. But we have this unconscious awareness like, oh, that 2 minute PT exercise won't matter because I don't have the energy for 30 minutes. And so same thing where each time we do something where we are living into this belief of trust in the tiny, finding that moment of, oh, okay, yes, this is true. This is worth it. And so that could be saying at the end of that 2 minutes when you had 30 planned, but you trusted that the 2 minutes was good, write down, how did that feel? And you see, oh my God, I felt proud. I felt a little more energy. And that starts to build the evidence that these things do add up. And it just really starts to be a snowball that it's just so neat to see.
Yeah, I love that. And then even after doing the 2 minutes where, you know, maybe they didn't think they had the energy for it and they do the 2 minutes and then guess what? They're like, oh, I can do two more.
All the time,
I can
all
do
the
two
time.
More. And all of a sudden you actually get the whole 30-minute workout in because you believed in the tiny that if I just do it 2 minutes by 2 minutes.
Well, and you said a few minutes back, you know, that there was something in myself, and I need to give credit. The thing that was in myself during that time that was so scary, the thing that I will look back and hug past me almost 15 years ago and give her the hugest kiss is that I was willing to try something different and I was willing to ask for support because it was the first coach who I learned this stuff from that really broke me out of this belief that, wow, my life will always be a little bit worse with this diagnosis. And the first time that she said, you know, with love, that's a thought that's optional. It doesn't have to be
Right.
true. If you believe it, then it will create that most likely,
Yes.
but it doesn't have to be true. And so it took that kind of one perspective shift to say, okay, so it's possible that my life doesn't have to be worse. It really had to start small. It really, my body had to be on board
Right.
with the slight change. And just that possibility, I believe, is what ignited the curiosity. And from that curiosity is where all the positive learning and doing, because learning's not going to do anything, but learning and doing
Yes.
really was the catalyst, was that curiosity. It's such a juicy emotion that can get us to a lot of places we want to go.
I love that. And one of my favorite all-time quotes is, whether you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're right.
So true.
And, sharing that with clients, because if they come to you and they've been told by other practitioners, oh, well, you have this diagnosis and you're going to have it for the rest of your life and you can't heal, cancel, cancel, cancel. If that's the belief that you have, then yeah, that's what's going to happen. What if you shift the belief, just as that coach said to you? What if you believe that you can
What
be
would
better?
happen?
Exactly.
It's worth trying. And really, there's autoimmune disease, right? Then there's autoimmune health, which I made up and I created, but your life is going to go in the direction of your strongest thought, right? So if time and energy is spent funneling into this side, it doesn't mean that we don't have the disease and we don't have very real symptoms. Like, this is not blocking that out and not acknowledging it. It's just making room for the autoimmune health. It's making room for the positive. They can coexist together for a while, even neutralize it at first.
Yes.
It always will overflow and end up feeling better. But at first, it's just being aware that we need to counteract that negativity bias that is trying to keep us safe. Again, this is something that we should be taught when we're in elementary
Yes,
school,
exactly.
is that your brain will offer you about 50 times the negative thoughts and feelings as the positive, but we can counteract it if we're intentional about it.
Absolutely. And the negative is there to protect us and keep us safe. The reality is we don't have to be protected and kept safe in today's world from what needed to be kept safe from 2,000 years ago.
And some of it's beautiful. We're human. I just
Exactly.
lost my stepdad, one of my most dear humans. And I wasn't looking at my sadness and saying, wow, you could change this thinking and be happy about it. I wasn't ready for that. I wanted to feel sad. And
Right.
that felt human and it felt good. And this life has ups and downs. A rule inside my club is life is 50-50, meaning we embrace the ups and the downs, and find a way to live with both with so much grace and love, for ourselves and for others. And it just kind of spills over.
And that's a beautiful point that you're making there, is it's finding a way to live with both with grace instead of pushing it down, because society has programmed us to push that down and, put your big girl panties on, or, get back to work and suck it up and be strong and all of that. And the reality is that our emotions are messengers and they serve a purpose. And when we acknowledge them, and in time, that's absolutely warranted emotion to lose someone and to feel sad, right? If you've been pushing things down for years, then what happens is over time that is causing dis-ease in the body. And so it is far better to be acknowledging the emotion, allowing it to move through our body, even when it feels uncomfortable, and moving forward.
And another negative emotion that I experienced a lot around the diagnosis was, a worry or an anxiety. And it wasn't until I really stepped into embracing that life was meant to be 50-50, and that this anxiety or this worry may just be a part of the 50 that is more on the negative side. And that doesn't mean anything has gone wrong. As soon as I allow it to be there, it kind of stops bothering you when you're, it loses interest in you when you lose interest in it. And so, how did my anxiety or my worry get better? Is that I accepted that, hey, you can stay here. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to be working. I'm going to be playing and enjoying life. And, it creeps up and reminds me that it's there from time to time, but I don't make it mean that anything has gone wrong. And yeah, the second you stop, poking with it, it takes two to tango, right? And if you're
Right,
not tangoing with
absolutely.
it, then it tends to lose interest.
Right, because you stop thinking about it and
Yeah.
then it goes, outside your awareness again. So, yeah, I love all of this. So, let's talk about how to build health in the days between doctor's visits. And I love that you're a pharmacist. I love that you've had your own health journey and your coach as well now. How do you help people build health?
Well, so many people think of, okay, part of my health plan is maybe it's lab draws, maybe it's PT, maybe it's infusions, maybe it's doctor visits. Even if you have a whole bunch of those, you're still going to have 300 plus days where you're just on your own and you are living your life. And that's a lot of days filled with a lot of habits. Up to 50% of our life is being driven by habit. And so, what are we going to do with those days? We are going to use them to our advantage, where as time goes by, we are building up, we are healing, we are getting healthier. And I just love thinking that in those spans, let's say you see a doctor twice a year, you could spend 6 months and have a lot of good things to report. You could have a lot of that evidence building up. And so the way we do it is in a very balanced, in a very loving, in a very science-backed, simple, and supportive way, just one or two goals or habits at a time, that we learn the skill of how do we make changes. So, of all the things we could do, eat different, move more, rest, sleep, there's a million things we can do. We use what we know about the science and you, yourself. Yourself is such a key point. Where do you want to start? And we don't worry too much about where we're starting because we're learning the skill of becoming consistent. We're learning the skill of how to change in a way that actually feels good so that you're not white knuckling your way through to the next milestone or 30 days of no this. We are doing it in a way that feels good so that we want to keep doing it. And then that skill just keeps building, keeps getting stronger, and you get to start exploring all these, ways in these different areas of lifestyle that can support your health and feel pretty darn good along the way.
I love that. And to your point, it's not about, deprivation or doing something that I don't get.
Yeah,
Like right
yeah.
there, we can shift the language to I get, right? And I
Totally.
always love sharing, I'm a vegetarian and I don't go out to dinner and say, "Oh, I don't get to eat beef tonight."
Yeah,
Right?
totally.
It's like I just skip over it. I don't
Yeah.
want it. I choose to be vegetarian and choose not to eat red meat. And so I don't have a problem with that choice. And so it's not woe is me over here. And that's what you're saying here in this work is you're helping people get to that place where their new habits are helping them in their healing journey such that they love the fact that they get to have these new habits.
Yeah, you
And
nailed it.
that helps, build the habit that much more quickly. So
And
it's
I
the
love your,
mindset combined with the taking action.
totally. I love your example too, because I'm a Midwestern girl. I grew up in Michigan, so I will be ordering the filet mignon on the, but that's how personal it is. And
Exactly. And no judgment from me, by the way. Like
oh, of
everybody gets to choose
course.
what they want to eat.
Yeah, I picked up on that. You weren't going to be judging, so I'm like, I'm going to share that rare meat. But the way that we build these habits, I created something called, it's called the ABC Habit Playbook. And it essentially takes all of my nerding out on all of the research on habits and how we change and all this stuff we're not taught. And it frames it in a usable way where these are the different strategies that we don't quite know which one's going to work for which habit, but we try them out. We have them at our fingertips. And one of them is called Words Matter. And it's based on exactly what we're saying. The power of our language really changes how we interact with it, or how we're able to, what we're able to do. And so, similar one, we grab a bag of something and it says gluten-free, dairy-free, this free. I mean, words matter. What if it said, inflammation-free on it? You know, what if it said the flip side of energy crash-free? You know, it would completely change how we engage with these products.
Absolutely, and have more people making healthier choices simply because of the language that's used, which again is a big part of my teaching as well. So I love this entire conversation and how you help people and how you've helped yourself first, and then now how you help others. I always think that's really important because you've walked the walk and you know, talk the talk as well versus I'm just going to go help these people over here and get all of this training and haven't actually experienced it. So I love bringing people on the show who've healed themselves first, because you sharing your story inspires all of the listeners that are struggling with autoimmune diseases right now to recognize that, wow, if she can do it, I can do it too.
Yeah. And hopefully, I mean, modeling it along the way, I have some habits that, you know, I have years of feeling like, okay, I did really well. And then they kind of creep back in. And I think it keeps me humble. I say that it makes me the best coach ever because I'm using these right alongside my clients and they see me succeeding. They see me working through it. And that's good. We don't get to a place and graduate. We don't graduate health school. We have to keep showing up.
It's our journey for every day for the rest of our life.
Yes, yes.
So we don't really want to graduate because that brings the end of life sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. So we might as well figure out how to enjoy it, have a little bit of fun, and, you know, really, yeah, it can be enjoyable. That's a huge pillar of a good quality of life and happiness. And so we got to marry the two together. We got to figure out how to make health simpler and more enjoyable, because otherwise we will let this looming diagnosis or a one possibility out of many in the future that is grabbing our attention, we'll let that run the show and drive the whole bus versus these little shifts that we can go upstream that really can change the trajectory of where we're heading.
I call that getting out of the hypnosis of the diagnosis.
If it rhymes, we remember it better. So I love that.
Yes. Yeah. And we don't, yes, there's a diagnosis. However, just because you have that diagnosis doesn't mean that your life is going to mirror however many other people have had that diagnosis, because you can make a different choice and you can use different language and you can think differently around what that diagnosis is for you, exactly as you have done, Amy.
Similar to what you said, I sometimes call it hidden negativity, because sometimes we don't even know that we are believing something that is not in our best interest. And so
100%.
It's hidden, and but we can go in there and find it, because it feels better on the other side. You know, we don't have to unearth things that don't need to be unearthed. But if you have an overall feeling about your health that you don't love, that part is optional.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen to your intuition, because your intuition is guided by your unconscious mind and it knows.
It knows.
It knows. So yeah, I love this conversation, Amy. And I always love to ask every single guest that comes on this show, what does "don't wait for your wake up call" mean to you?
There's an old proverb that says, sometimes a stumble prevents a fall. And I think that's what I think of, is a stumble could be something in your health, maybe a lab value, maybe a thyroid diagnosis. I mean, the Hashimoto's diagnosis is everywhere, and the world just says, that's normal. Take your Synthroid or your levothyroxine and keep on going. But I think for me, that vitiligo, the Graves' thyroid disease, those were stumbles that maybe if I would have treated them different, it maybe could have prevented a bigger fall. So listen to the whispers of your body so that it doesn't need to scream to get your attention.
I love that quote. I say that one too. It's beautiful. Absolutely. Our body is always talking to us and our symptoms matter. And again, society's programmed us to ignore them and be tough and keep going. And that's the last thing you want to do. You want to get curious at that point and go, why is this showing up? What is my body asking me to do about it? So Amy, if people want to reach out and work with you, what is the best way for them to get hold of you?
I have a website, www.amybmercoaching.com, but I also will share that I made a free quiz, 7 questions. It takes less than 3 minutes. It's enjoyable, and no surprise, it is about habits, but it's about the habit that your body may be asking for. It's about which one, if you were able to shift it in a way that ever so slightly was more towards healing and less away from the inflammation or the harm or whatever is going on in your body, most likely you would have more energy. You would have, again, less inflammation. And so what the quiz does is it lands you in one of these 6 key areas of lifestyle so that you can calm down some of that overwhelm and say, okay, this is a good place for me to start. And on the back end of the quiz, I'll also set you up with some of these plays. I talk about the ABC Habit Playbook, and I select a few that really can help us as we get started on this journey so that you don't just feel lost with, okay, but what do I do next? Instead, it really is teaching you these things we should have been taught all these years, because when we start to learn that, we really start to see the evidence. So the quiz would probably be the coolest way. If you're listening to this podcast, you like podcasts, and I have a podcast called Autoimmune Health Secrets. And we're almost to a couple hundred episodes, and that is similar conversations we're having here, strategy and mindset around the things that we can be doing to, again, right this ship and shift our direction towards health.
I love that. And it brings me back to what we were talking about earlier, is there's so much information. You want to go to the people that have walked the walk and are talking the talk. And clearly this is Amy. So if you are listening and you are struggling with your own autoimmune issues or any health issue, really, it doesn't matter, because all of this training applies regardless. And Amy, I just want to ask you here too, another question of, that you can give the answer to the audience of, what recommendations do you have for them if they feel like they've tried everything and nothing has worked? So what is different now when they work with you?
I love that. Even that thought of I've tried everything can be so blocking, because if that's true, okay, then there's not much we can do. But really saying, what haven't I tried? You know, just statistically, you know, I'm such a proponent of coaching, and I'm a board certified health and wellness coach. And I'm proud of that, because it is actually on its way to becoming a profession. Mm-hmm. So the vision of this board is that you won't be able to go to a physician's office without also saying, let me work with this health coach, because this is how we actually make changes. And so statistically, most people have not tried working with a coach. Right. So, I mean, very few, even me, I work with coaches. I love coaching. When I first started working with them, people would say, how are you so well adjusted? And I wasn't saying it at first. I would say I had a therapist, but not a coach, because I think there was some sort of, I don't even know what it was. Nobody had one, and I felt different. And then I realized, well, I'm part of the problem. I need to be singing the praises of this work that I do. And so now I say everybody can benefit. So if you feel like you've Absolutely. Tried everything, but you haven't tried a coach, that is worth a try. And lean into where, you know, if it's not me, if it's not, I mean, whoever it is, where do you feel that pull of possibility, that pull of curiosity, like, ooh, and lean in and be willing to try that and try something different. That would be my best honest advice. And again, I went first. I'm so grateful that I was willing to try that. And it really did change things. So that would be my answer.
Well, I love that answer. And I agree. And it's funny, because through childhood, we have so many coaches for different sports and things, sports, etc. And then all of a sudden in adulthood, we're supposed to know everything and we don't need coaches anymore. No,
I don't cut my own hair. I don't do my taxes.
Exactly.
And this is a pharmacy nugget that I think is really helpful for people to hear. When there's research that's done that says, okay, this medication works, the lag time before it becomes the standard of care and makes it to the guidelines is 17 years.
Yeah, I was going to guess.
17 years.
Yeah.
So we have research that coaching, lifestyle coaching, and by nationally board certified health and wellness coaches and others, there's evidence that it saves money, it improves quality of life. But so we're in that lag time right now. So if you're hearing this, oh my gosh, get ahead of the curve. You are going to be like one of the founders of, I didn't wait 17 years for it to make it to the guidelines. I did something about it. So again, I love the pharmacist in me brings this evidence base to everything I do because that means it's reproducible and that means we can have some assurance and some confidence as we build up our own that this will work.
Yeah, I love it. And I just love the fact of let me do something in those 17 years. It's just the
Yes.
mindset of taking action and
You're
moving
right.
forward shows the mindset that I can create the life that I want and feel the way that I want, et cetera, versus I'm stuck and I have to wait 17 years and
Yeah,
do
you're
nothing for
absolutely
the next
right.
17 years, right? That just keeps you stuck. So beautiful. Oh my goodness, Amy, we could talk for hours.
We could.
I won't bore the audience with hours and hours of podcasts, though we know your time is limited. I do want to ask Amy, is there any last words of wisdom that you would like to share with the audience before we wrap this podcast episode?
Gosh, we've covered some good stuff, but I would say if you just so many people are like, I'm just not consistent. That's what they say about habits over and over. I'm just not consistent. Really try going all in on one, right? Just trust that we don't have to do it all. And starting somewhere, starting with just one really good change that you know you want to make. Maybe something that you did in your, years past that you felt so good when you did that thing. And usually it's related to eating a certain way or exercising a certain way. And just let the rest fall away and just focus on that one and see what can happen. It's like a laser is a focus and attention is one of our most precious resources right now that is not really ours. And so take it back and try to have that laser focus on one area. It may be the area that you find out in the quiz but one area is just such a powerful, powerful tool you can give yourself.
I love that. And it could be as simple, something as simple as, reducing the amount of time you spend on social media and buying that time for yourself, for your own self-care, right? And setting a timer when you start scrolling so that you don't lose an hour. Maybe you scroll for 15 minutes and then you've got 45 minutes to do something for yourself. So I love that advice. That's amazing, Amy. So thank you so much for being here on the show and to the audience listening to this. If any part of this episode resonated with you, that is a sign from the universe that you were meant to listen to this episode today and you should be reaching out to Amy. Or if you know someone else that needs to hear this episode, please share it with them. Thank you for always tuning in, for wanting to grow and learn and focus on your health. We so appreciate it. I'm wishing you a wonderful week ahead.
Thank you for investing this time with me on the Don't Wait for Your Wake Up Call podcast. I'm so glad you joined in. If you can take 2 minutes to share this episode with someone you think can benefit and have a positive impact on their life, that would be wonderful. Please leave a review by going to your favorite podcast listening app and let me know what you enjoy or would like to hear more of. It will support me in my effort to bring the possibility of natural healing to a wider audience and help disrupt the sick care system we have today and make human health a global priority. Health is your true wealth.